WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave. The 24th anniversary of Roe v. Wade last month coincided with bombings on abortion clinics in three cities. Just last week, a 15-year-old boy was arrested on charges in the bombing of the clinic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Although there's no evidence that these incidents are related, the violence directed at abortion providers over the past few years implies an escalation in the war on abortion. And at the forefront of the militant wing of the pro-life side stands Operation Rescue. My guest, Jennifer Gonerman, is a staff writer reporting on politics and criminal justice for The Village Voice. She recently obtained a diary written by Mark Harry Gabriel, a full-time operative for Operation Rescue's headquarters in Dallas. Gabriel kept the diary to record his tactics, successes, and failures in his picketing at family planning clinics around Dallas. In the past, Operation Rescue's activities have been well documented in the media. I asked Jennifer Gonerman what new light the diary shed on the workings of this particular pro-life organization.
I think the most incredible thing about the diary is that it actually exists. I mean, pro-choice people have long said that anti-choice activists were stalking doctors, jotting down the license plates of clinic workers, and chasing them home. But to actually read this in Mark Gabriel's diary, Mark Gabriel being an intelligence gatherer for Operation Rescue at its national headquarters in Dallas, to actually read in his own words his day-to-day activities trying to gather intelligence and harass people in the pro-choice movement, particularly abortion doctors and clinic workers, is incredibly fascinating and compelling. His diary, which goes from August 1994 to March 1995, offers a rare look inside of Operation Rescue's strategy and tactics, and it really illustrates the kind of fervor that has driven some other protesters to go way too far in their effort to eliminate abortion.
One tactic Operation Rescue uses is to send anti-abortion activists into clinics undercover, posing as patients, and Gabriel calls them truth teams in his diary. What was the purpose of that strategy?
This is a sort of favorite anti-choice strategy, and the way Gabriel describes it in his diary, he talks about a fake mother-daughter team. So this would be two people not necessarily related who were part of Operation Rescue, who would schedule appointments and go into the family planning clinic. Then at a certain time that had been specified ahead of time, they would go to the door at the back of the clinic and open it and let in all their fellow Operation Rescue workers. And these people would come into the clinic. This is all described in Gabriel's diary. At least this was the plan they tried to execute on several occasions. These Operation Rescue protesters would come into the clinic of the waiting room and they would start, ranting and raving about abortion and try to convince those people in the waiting room not to go ahead with the abortion if that's why they were there. On other occasions, Gabriel would just charge in the front door with his fellow protesters and start preaching in the waiting room of the clinic. They would stick anti-choice literature inside the magazines in the waiting room, and they would also stick their own business cards inside the tray of the doctor. And these business cards would say things like, quote, Abortion Inc. serving all your baby-killing needs since 1973. So they certainly weren't subtle in their efforts to spread their anti-choice message.
Why did he keep the diary?
Well, I actually had to call Mark Gabriel for this Village Voice story, and it wasn't a phone call I was really eager to make since he didn't know this diary had been circulating among pro-choice people. But when I got him on the telephone, I told him I had the diary, and he sounded slightly stunned, but he did answer my question about why exactly he'd kept it. And he said that the reason he kept it is it was sort of notes that he was keeping for his own use, and he was later going to put them together into a newsletter and send them out to his supporters. Mark Gabriel seems to get his, I wouldn't say salary, but Mark Gabriel seems to get by on donations from individuals who support his cause. So I think he was going to summarize his activities as described in the diary in a newsletter which would be sent out to these supporters. And he told me, quote, every missionary needs to communicate with those that support him as a reason for why he kept the diary.
Did Gabriel reveal anything about his personal life in the diary?
He didn't reveal much. It seemed quite clear that he didn't seem to have much of a personal life. He appears to be unmarried. He's 36 years old. He's a former civil engineer, though he's not practicing that now. He seems so committed to the cause that the line between his professional and social life is completely blurred, and he appears to be close to the other people in Operation Rescue, and this really seems to be all-consuming in his life.
It's an interesting story how the diary got into your hands. Why don't you tell us about it?
I think this is sort of a fascinating twist in the whole story. And what happened is back in 1992, Operation Rescue, as well as a couple other anti-abortion groups and activists, mobilized thousands of people to try and shut down and interfere with clinic activities in Houston during the 1992 Republican convention down there. And they were somewhat successful. And then Planned Parenthood slapped them with a lawsuit. In 94, Planned Parenthood won a $1.3 million judgment against Operation Rescue and another anti-abortion group and a couple of anti-abortion activists. And in order to pay off this judgment, the federal government seized Operation Rescue's assets. They seized their office equipment and then auctioned it off. And then into the story enters a woman named Carol Adams, who is an abortion rights supporter. She's an animal rights activist. She's probably best known for a book called The Sexual Politics of Meat. She borrowed some money from her sisters, went to the auction, and for a little more than $3,000, she bought everything. She bought all 78 items that were being auctioned off.
Did she know what was in them?
She knew she was buying Operation Rescue's office equipment. She didn't know if there was going to be anything exciting on those computers, which is what she ultimately discovered. She bought printers and loudspeakers they used for protests, some of the same loudspeakers they actually used to protest outside her own home. Her husband is a prominent minister in town and a pro-choice minister and had been the target of some of Operation Rescue's wrath and protests. So after she bought 6 computers at the auction, she discovered Mark Gabriel's diary on one of them. She also discovered a list of media contacts and doctor's license plate numbers and mailing letters. But the juiciest bit that she got out of this auction was Mark Gabriel's 80-page diary, sort of an incredible find, I think, for the pro-choice movement.
I'd like to know if, in your reporting, you found any activities on the part of the pro-choice group that you found unethical.
Well, I think that I haven't discovered any that are unethical in my own reporting. But what I think is quite curious about this particular story is, on the one hand, you have Mark Gabriel with great glee attempting to infiltrate the anti-choice movement, you know, by covert and more obvious means. And to a certain extent, the exact same thing is happening on the other side. I mean, the two sides essentially believe they're engaged in a war or in a battle and will, you know, not by any means necessary, but almost attempt to get information about the other side and figure out what's going on. So the fact that a pro-choice supporter bought all of Operation Rescue's office equipment and then found this diary among other documents on their computers definitely shows that both sides are willing to go to varying extents, or both sides are willing to go to varying degrees to try and get information about the opposite side.
Jennifer Gonerman, thank you very much for talking with me today on Fresh Air.
Oh, thanks so much, Barbara.
Jennifer Gonerman is a staff writer for The Village Voice.